Well, if you're new to our church, I want to introduce myself to you. I'm Benny. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're starting a new series today called From Here to Maturity. How do we get from where we are to the maturity that God wants to build in our lives over time? Before we kind of get into it, we should probably talk about the kinds of things that the Spirit of God gives us. And we know, if we're a Christian, that the Spirit of God has given us a gift. And the gift that he has given us is the gift of salvation. It's the gift of a relationship with God. But the Spirit also gives us an additional gift. We call them the gifts of the Spirit. They are individual gifts that God gives each one of us. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. Some of us may have two, three, or four. And if you don't know what those gifts are, then I'd encourage you to stick around after church. Go down to the fellowship hall at 11:30. We have a class designed just for that. But some of you already know what your spiritual gifts are and you're using them. If you're not comfortable with the way you're using them, again, that class would be a great benefit to you. But many of you know what your spiritual gifts are and you're using them and God is using you. So then there's this thing of the fruit of the Spirit, which is different than the gift of the Spirit given to us as salvation and the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us to bless the body of Christ. There's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. When we become a Christian and when we are serving the way that God wants us to serve, there is this maturity that God begins to produce in our lives if we allow him to. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. We're going to look at that in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. If in the bulletin, there's a thing called the take-home, and many of the scriptures we're going to look at are written in there, as well as some of the things we're going to talk about around the scriptures. If you want to follow along, you can do that. There are pencils in most of the seats around there. If you like to take notes, you can do that as well. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Lord, speak your word into our lives. Use this scripture to change us, to be more like Jesus. Word of God, speak. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we get from here to the maturity that God wants to build into our lives? I got a bunch of grapes up here to kind of give us a little visual of what we're talking about this morning. John 15, God says that his goal for us is that we should bear fruit. Not that we should just bear fruit, but that we should bear much fruit, that we should bear more fruit, that we should bear much fruit. How many of us can say that we're exactly where God wants us to be with all the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? All those individual things we talked about. How many of us can say we're fully developed, we're fully mature in each one of those areas? There was a mentor of our church here. I think he said this while he was preaching. I can't remember, but I know he said it, and I'll never forget it. He said, Crossroads is a healthy church. But Crossroads is not a mature church. And I was kind of offended when he said that as one of the pastors. I don't remember where he said it, but I remember being offended for like 5 seconds and then thinking about it a little bit and saying he's probably right. And since that time, I think God has matured many of us and has matured our church. But certainly no one of us is completely there yet. And our church as a whole is not there yet, maturity-wise. How can we become a more mature church displaying the fruit of the Spirit? You say, is that a big deal, Pastor Vinny? Is that really something worth spending 30 minutes talking about? Well, we exist to glorify God, and we can only glorify God by bearing fruit. There's no other way. If you care about God's purpose for you, if you care about God's purpose for our church, then yes, this is important. And by the way, we can't do anything of lasting value without being connected to Jesus and bearing the fruit that His Spirit brings. So if you care about making any kind of difference in this world, that's going to last beyond this world. Because there's lots of people that make a difference in this world doing various things. And some of those things are important. But some of those things aren't going to last forever. If you want what you do to make an eternal impact, then yes, what we're talking about today makes a difference. Now, first we have to understand how fruit works. So I have a couple things about that. Number one, fruit grows. I'm just amazed at the things that my wife does in our yard with flowers and with fruit and vegetables and all these kinds of things. If she creates the right environment for these things, they just grow. And sometimes they take over areas of the yard, and we have to actually trim them back. Fruit grows. The vine dresser's job is to set up the conditions. And by the way, God is the vine dresser, and He has set up all the conditions necessary for our growth. He says He's given us everything for life and godliness. He set up the conditions. The challenge, I believe, for myself and the challenge, I believe, for most of us is how to get out of the way of the vine dresser so that He can bring this fruit into our lives. How do we get out of His way? Because we will grow if we don't get in God's way. Secondly, fruit grows, I believe, from the inside out. Jesus reminds us that He's the vine, that we have to be connected to Him. His Spirit flows through Him and brings fruit into our lives. You ever tried real hard to be loving or to be joyful or to be patient without God's help? But you tried really hard. How did that work out for you? I know I've done it hundreds of thousands of times. You see, we can't manufacture fruit. Well, we have fruit somewhere in this building. I think I've brought it up here before. We have fruit that has been manufactured. It's counterfeit. It's not real. You can't chew it. You can't eat it. It's not going to help you. It's not going to be nutritious. We cannot manufacture fruit. We have to be connected to Jesus, and we grow from the inside through God's Spirit out, not from the outside in. Fruit also grows over time. Most of us want to grow fast. We want to grow instantaneous. We want this fruit of the Spirit to be manifest right away. But God isn't in a hurry. He has all of eternity. It says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So He works His fruit into us. And He does it over time. John 15 says the key to fruit bearing is if we remain in Jesus. That word remain is kind of a slow word. It means to abide. It means to stay there. It means to stick around. Somebody translated it, make yourself at home. Stay a while. And that's the idea, that when we stick with Jesus, when we stay with Jesus, He will bring this fruit into our lives. But it takes time. What we also know is that fruit grows together. In terms of this kind of fruit, they grow together. And it's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't it curious that He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit? He says fruit of the Spirit. All these things that we talked about this morning that we read from the Scripture, they grow together. A growth in one area will mean growth in the other areas. Weakness in one area will mean weakness in the other areas. So that's a little bit about fruit. Over the next 9 weeks, we want to get a sense of how God, our vine dresser, is working His fruit into our lives. We want to understand how we can cooperate with Him in that process and not get in the way. How can we go from where we are now to greater levels of maturity? Today we're just going to talk about love. I discovered through reading Galatians some things that aren't love. I think it's important for us to talk about what love is not before we talk about what it is and how to grow in it. I discovered what Paul says is that love is not people-pleasing. Love is not people-pleasing. You look at it here in Galatians 1 and verse 10, it says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ." Now, this was a problem for Paul when his name was Saul in his early days before he became a Christian. He was actually persecuting Christians. He was persecuting them on behalf of his fellow Jews because he wanted to please his superiors, because he wanted to please the men around him. He did what he thought was the best thing to do to please them. And he also thought he was pleasing God in the process, but part of his motivation was pleasing men. He says here, am I still trying to please men? No, I did that at one time. I used to do that, but I'm not doing that anymore. And so love is not people pleasing. Now, will people be pleased when we love them? Well, a lot of times, sure, people will be pleased when we love them, but there will be times when we will love someone and they will not be pleased. But notice, our motivation isn't to please people. Our motivation is to serve Christ. So love is not people pleasing. Love is also not holding back the truth. Paul says here that when he preached to the Galatians when he was sick. He had some kind of infirmity and he preached to the Galatians. And the Galatians really appreciated Paul, even though he was sick, preaching to them and helping them get their church going. It says in the scriptures that he was so connected to these people. He said, you would have given me your eyes. You would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me if I needed you to do that. That's a strong, strong statement, isn't it? And then he says, right after he says that, he says, Galatians 4:16, he says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? You had this great love and affection for me. You appreciated my ministry. But now, all of a sudden, I told you the truth about something, and now are we enemies because of that? Paul had to confront a serious issue at the church of the Galatians. And we have serious issues that we have to confront. In our world, we have serious issues we have to confront. In our relationships with one another, we have serious issues that we have to confront. So love doesn't mean holding back the truth. We have to confront those issues. The third thing I found through Paul was that love is not painless. He says in Galatians 4 and verse 19 this, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. Loving the Galatians with God's love was a painful thing for Paul. He used this imagery of childbearing, which if you've bore children, you know is painful. And if you've watched it like I have, it seemed so painful for my wife, I almost fainted the first time I experienced that. Why was it so painful for Paul to love the Galatians? Well, Galatians 5:24 says it this way, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul had to crucify what his body wanted to do when he heard that the Galatians had fallen into an error of doctrine and that it was affecting the church. Paul learned this process that he had to crucify what he wanted to do, what his body wanted to do. Paul's natural inclination was probably to kind of slap the church around, but he learned to be with them more like a loving mother giving birth. We can expect that loving others will not come easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to cost us something. It's going to require crucifying what our bodies and our passions and our desires want to do sometimes within that relationship. So love's not painless. Well, what is love? How do we go from here where we are to God using, I'm losing my fruit now, to go to where God wants us to be, if we just say, let's just take this fruit right here and call it love. What is that? How do we do that? Well, I think the first thing to look at is, and I just stuck with Galatians here because I started reading through Galatians and there was just so much there, I didn't decide to go anywhere else. But I think love is an expression of our faith. Love is an expression of our faith. I see that in Galatians 5 and verse 6. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's a strong statement, isn't it? When you say the only thing, I mean, the only thing, really the only thing. Paul says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What is faith? Faith is that you are persuaded by God that he loves you and that you need to be loved in order to be saved. And you love God back because he first loved you. And because of your love for God, you start loving others the same way he loves you. Love becomes an expression of our faith in God. Galatians 5 and verse 14 says it this way, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command." Again, did you hear that? Paul is very demonstrative when he says things. He says, the entire law, everything in the law, the Old Testament, fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to cooperate with the work of the vine dresser, work on your faith in God, work on your love of God, and it will result in greater love for the people around you. It just will. So if you want to go from where you are to where God wants you to be in this area of love, work on that relationship with God. And that faith that God will bring into your life as you work on that relationship will manifest itself in your other relationships. When I went to college, I had no idea what love was. Most of the relationships that I had before that were, what can I get out of this relationship as opposed to what can I give into it? In college, I spent the first 2 years soaking in the Word of God and in prayer. And at the end of those 2 years of college, I met these two girls. They were roommates. One was very depressed, suicidal. In fact, I didn't realize it at the time I was talking to her. And the other one was just disappointed, had been in a bad relationship and was disappointed. And I felt I had this God-given idea that it was my job to make sure that these two girls had a good rest of their school year. It was only about two or three months, so I figured I can do this. I can handle this assignment. What I didn't know at the time is that I was learning what it means to love someone. But it didn't happen by me trying to love them. It happened out of an expression of my faith in God that he could help make the rest of their year good. It became an expression of faith for me to step into these two relationships. Now, God is calling someone here forward in faith. I don't know who it is, but he's trying to develop a relationship with you. He's trying to show you things that are not yet, things that he wants to be in this world. He's trying to involve you in what he wants to do in someone else's life. Maybe it's someone who doesn't know God the same way that you do, or doesn't know God at all. Maybe it's someone who has made a mess out of their life. Maybe it's someone who has hurt you deeply. When you love that person, you are expressing your faith in God, who is love, and loves that person through you. So that's a little bit about what love is. What else is love? Well, I believe love is also expressed by giving. Love is expressed by giving. Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says it this way, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. The love of God is given, no strings attached. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loved and gave himself for us, knowing that some of us would actually reject that gift that he gave us. Knowing that some of us would reject it. My relationship with these two girls in college resulted in me giving to them. I gave one of them time as kind of a peer counselor. I didn't have any role as a guy, just became friends with them. But I was kind of listening, giving guidance, praying with this one girl. And the other one I gave small gifts to, planned activities to bring her joy in those last few months. Had I done anything like this for people before? Sure. But for me, it seemed like there was always strings attached to the way that I interacted with people. Didn't matter, girls, adults, there was always these strings attached. God was beginning to teach me how to love unconditionally without expecting anything to be returned to me. Maybe you're helping someone who may never repay you. Maybe you're giving to someone who seems to take so much out of you in the process. Maybe you're giving even though it's really someone else's responsibility, but you've stepped in there and you're making a difference in someone's life. Maybe you're giving even though you've had a disagreement with someone. Well, I would say you're following the example of Christ Jesus, and God will bring fruit out of that situation. So I would encourage you to keep it up. Keep it up because it's part of that process of you going from where you are in love to where God wants you to be in the way that you love. So keep it up. Now, what else is love? I found one other thing. Love looks out for the best. Love looks out for the best. I found this in Galatians 4:19, where Paul says this. He says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth." We already read that part of the verse. But then there's this part. "Until Christ is formed in you." So Paul's going through this very painful process of loving the Galatian believers. And he says he's going to do that until he sees Christ formed in them. So Paul's looking out for the best. And the best in this case is Christ-likeness for these believers. You see, not only is God trying to form Christ's character in you, these fruit of the Spirit that we talked about this morning, but he's also trying to work these things into the lives of other people. And like Paul, you can actually cooperate with that in someone else's life, not just your life. I told you about these two girls that I got close to in college. One of them was named Heather, and she finished her associate's degree in the first 2 years there. And I wanted so badly for her to stick around after she got that associate's degree because I was going for my bachelor's, which means I had to go another 2 years. But I had to let go of this idea of her staying in the college town for the next 2 years. Boy, was that hard. God was trying to teach me that love looks out for the best in the other person. The best for Heather was how is Christ forming her over the next 2 years. And that meant she was going to go back home. It meant that she would get a job. It meant that she would write me letters for the next 2 years until we eventually got married. Maybe there's someone in your life and you have some grand plans for them. I know the plans I have for you, my friend. But today, you see that ultimately what matters is not the plans that you have for them, but the plans that God has for them. How is Christ going to be formed in this person that you love? How will you cooperate with God toward that end, even if it's different than the ideas that you have? Maybe you're saying, "I'd like to do that, but I have no idea how to do that." How did Paul cooperate with God for the sake of the Galatians? It says that he was in step with the Spirit. Look at what it says, Galatians 5 and verse 25. It says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, one of the commentaries I read said it says, keep in step is a military command to make a straight line or to march in an ordered row. Some of you who are in the military know what that's about. The Spirit sets the line and the pace for us to follow. Keeping in step with the Spirit takes active concentration. It takes discipline of everything that we are. We constantly see other paths that we could follow, but we reject them so that we can follow the Spirit. We constantly hear other drummers trying to slow us down or speed us up, but we tune them all out so that we can listen only to the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about for the next 8 weeks after this is the moral character that is developed by the power of the Spirit. The nine character qualities are a unity. They are perfectly formed Christ-like character. Paul desired to see Christ formed in the Galatian believers, and here in our text he describes what it will be like when that fruit of form is fully formed and complete. He says they'll be loving, they'll be joyful, they'll be peaceful, they'll be patient, they'll be kind, they'll be good, they'll be faithful, they'll be gentle, they'll be self-controlled. These character qualities are not a new list of laws or moral codes that have to be kept. They are the result of being in step with the Spirit. So we can't produce agape love that we've been talking about this morning on our own. It's all a work of God's Spirit. Now, Paul is a tremendous example of love, but his love for the Galatians was not really his love for the Galatians. It was God's love for the Galatians that just happened to flow through him because he was there and in step with the Spirit. Look at John 15, 13. Greater what? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Paul laid down his life for his friends, but he could only do so because Christ had set the example first. He set the example of ultimate love. Now, nowhere is Christ's love more vividly and powerfully displayed than in the table that we come to this morning. We're going to experience the Lord's table, communion, this morning. So let's take a moment and pray. Loving Lord Jesus, we come before you now and we confess that you alone are the living God. We confess that you alone are worthy of all honor and praise because you set aside your heavenly glory and you came into this world as a man. You came to redeem your wayward sons and daughters, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I praise you that I am included in your gracious forgiveness. I want to thank you that you willingly offered up your body to be the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that your body was broken for me, that your precious blood was shed to pay the full price for all our many sins, not just for us, but for all who will trust in your name. Lord, we come to you and we want to humbly submit so that we can partake of this bread, this juice, so that we can do it in remembrance of you. Amen.